Welcome to episode 6 of Ordinary Christians and Who Are We?
This is Ron Sitlau, glad to be here today.
And this is Derek Bukema, and I am dusting off my copy of Tribulation Force for this very special episode.
And I'm Bob Bauer, and we are going to talk to you about the end of the world, and we think how that connects to people's thinking with this virus that's sweeping the world. Enjoy. Well, welcome to Ordinary Christians, episode number 6 with Derek, Ron, and Bob. And we're excited about sharing an interesting topic that we're just going to have a little dialogue. Has to do with the end times. And especially as the virus that's sweeping the world has triggered some pretty interesting dynamics. I got an email from one of our members just saying, Pastor Bob, do you think it's the end of the world? And then it went on to say, I think that I heard they're going to put a chip underneath our wrists, and we're going to, you know, this is, you know, Revelation speaks of this and the mark of the beast, whatnot. So I think it's a very fair conversation for us to have about the end times because people are thinking about it. At least some people are.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you guys think?
What do you think? Yeah, I did a crowdsourcing question on Facebook asking people what they would want to do a class about. And I had people from all over the country. It was a couple hundred people. And it all ended up being about end times, about the last things. People really are thinking about it, Christians especially. And I think it's because there's so much turmoil and just weirdness that people are trying to figure it out.
What about you, Derek? What do you think? Is it relevant?
I think this is a very relevant topic. We just had a time of question and answer with our youth group kids, and that was one of the questions that was asked: was are we in the end times? And I've gotten texts about that same thing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, let's all start by just saying this: we absolutely 100% believe that Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
Period.
Yep.
He said in the scriptures, letters written to churches got reprimanded because they were sitting around waiting for it. He is coming again. That is not up for debate.
No, it's part of Christianity. Every Christian believes and confesses that Jesus has ascended into heaven and will return to judge the living and the dead.
And our faith is fundamentally an apocalyptic faith that the kingdom has broken in and the kingdom is coming. And we are the people that live in both worlds. And that's our faith. And it's clear from Paul that there is an expectation for a yearning of his return.
And I think, you guys, I think you'll agree. When life is comfortable, people don't think about it. Unfortunately. But when life gets interesting, all of a sudden, suddenly people start thinking about, is this it? Is this the end? Is this the second coming? Is this the end of the world? And so I think it's relevant for ordinary Christians right now. I'll be frank. I have asked myself interesting questions in my head about, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. This is a world pandemic thing. It's not just isolated one country. It's across every economic, intelligent, developed, undeveloped country. Yeah, so you know what should an ordinary, mom think about this? I'm sure people sitting at home that have never left their house in 6 weeks are thinking about possibly, like, what is going on? How should we be thinking about the second coming? The end times.
Yeah, I think to do it intelligently, we have to kind of frame what we're talking about. You know, classically, there's been different ways of thinking about the end times. We are in the end times, right? In the book of Hebrews.
That's right.
It says, in these last days, Christ is the revelation and the inauguration of these last days. And so the question then is, what does the moment from now until his return look like? And that's where things get, I think, a little complicated.
That's right. I mean, the Bible talks about this, you know, the New Testament kind of divides time into this present evil age and in the age to come, and that we're living in that period of time known as the end of the age. And so it's important for us to realize that when we talk about the fact that Jesus is coming, we should be living each day with anticipation of his return, knowing that he has told us that he would come soon. Now, what that means, we don't know. We don't know the hour or the day about when it is that he's coming. We should be extremely skeptical of anyone that tells you that they know the hour or the day that Jesus is coming back, because he tells us that no one would be able to know that. And we should also recognize that in Matthew 24, Jesus says that there will be markers of the end of the ages, and that wars and earthquakes and plagues and famines and false reports of Christ's return are all a part of the beginning of the birth pangs of that. But also that before Christ comes again, the gospel will be preached to all nations, you know. So this is one of the, that's Matthew 24:14, right? So so that would all need to happen before Christ's return.
And I mean, that is, I was taught, that was that for me, I was taught that is the really single most important sign of the end of the times, is that the gospel we preach throughout the entire world. I personally don't freak out about wars, rumors. I can't say, oh, that war, you know, the plague we're going through right now, because that's happened throughout history since the resurrection of Christ. But the one that always I keep my forefront of my mind is, when the entire world has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, then I will return. Yeah. That one, I think, is a pretty sure sign.
That's in 1 Peter, I think, and it's about the Lord is tarrying in his mercy, so that in his hope that all would repent. Mm-hmm. But when he comes, he'll come as a thief in the night. And so that is to be the fire of evangelism, right? We are, if you want to do anything to usher it in, that's something you can do today.
That's right. And I think that, so help me out with this, guys. Help me if I'm going out of bounds here. I think that if we take a look at the things that are coming and we're like, hey, this could be one of the signs of the beginning of the birth pangs of Christ's return. And if that allows us to sensitizes us to the fact that Jesus is going to return soon and encourages us to live in a way that knows that we're going to meet our Savior, I think that that's a good thing. We shouldn't be like overly committed to believing that it's going to happen within this particular day or this particular week. And I think that we should also recognize that there have been other times of global pandemic. I mean, when the Black Death went across the whole world, it was like a quarter of the human population died.
And so, Martin Luther thought it was the end. I mean, he thought it was it. He thought this was the generation.
And so I just remember very distinctly, second grade, I was at Milwaukee Christian School, and my teacher said, I believe that Jesus is going to come back in my lifetime. Mm. And I remember that, like, I was shook as a second grader, because I remember thinking, like, I want to experience second grade and third grade after that and fourth grade. But Jesus is coming back. I remember I couldn't sleep that first night. But I am thankful for what it is that she has said. And I think that this is the attitude that we should live with, that we should live with an expectation that Jesus is going to do what he said, that he's going to return. And so who know? I don't know the hour or the day, and I can't know that, because Jesus even said that he didn't know the hour or the day. But I do know that we should live in expectation of the fact that Jesus is going to return.
Go ahead, Ron.
Oh, I was just going to say, no. I'm interested in controversy. So isn't the real issues where it is, where things go awry is around Israel, rapture, literal, millennial reign? Isn't that the places where that's really where people are being stuck? Because, you know, Moody in our area is a huge influence, which is, they're kind of dispensational premillennialists. Mm-hmm. The West Coast, all of that is, you know, that the Jesus movement. So there's a huge American stream that way. And those are interesting to me, and I think important.
I think that's right. And I think that one of the things that ordinary Christians should not get caught up in is sometimes you can have like the mediaification of that part of the Bible, right? So like the book of Revelation can make for interesting movies, or the whole idea of the apocalypse could potentially lead to a whole series of books about what would happen.
Oh my goodness. Cameron was to be in one of those movies, I'd buy the whole set.
And so like, I think that there can be an unhealthy and unhelpful fixation on these sorts of things. that can, I think that can be spiritually unhelpful. But I think that it's like with so many things, either an overemphasis or an underemphasis on these sorts of things is destructive in the life of the Christian.
No doubt about it. I would say too that I've observed the people that get super focused on the book of Revelation, the second coming, that kind of stuff, basically they've got their head in the sand or they're looking down in the newspaper while the world before them is left without a message of the gospel. I remember a guy for a season of my ministry would send me every article related to Israel. Mm-hmm. And it's like that was all he could think about. And I said to him, you know, while you're all fixated on what happens in Israel, which I personally have a different opinion on Israel than he does anyway, but all these hours and thoughts and articles he'd send me in the mail of Chicago Tribune about what's happening in Israel, because somehow that was brought into his end times thinking. Versus the opposite, what Derek just said, is a person that lives their life as if there's no second coming going to happen. I mean, that's where we're going to live in that tension. Ron, what are the classic understandings of the end times?
Yeah, Ron, I think you should help us here because you're teaching through this right now, aren't you?
I am. If I say something wrong, don't correct me though, because I have a big ego.
We'll take care of that with the Lord's help.
That's right. There is the classical premillennial view, which was held by some of the early church fathers. And it is its view is that Revelation, especially Revelation 20, is literal, but that Israel and the church aren't separate, but they come together, like what Paul speaks of in the book of Romans. Then there's dispensational premillennialism, which is the idea that there's these different ages or dispensations of the church that was popularized by the Schofield guy who did the Schofield Bible. And in these different dispensations, there's a rapture that happens before a tribulation, and then God saves Israel. And it's apart from the work he has done in and through the church. And then there's the all-millennial view, which sees the thousand-year reign as symbolic and doesn't have a rapture. And it understands that the church is you'd have to help me a little bit, is Israel, right? And that the church is bringing about, the thousand-year, we're in the millennial reign, and the second coming will come at the end. And then the post-millennial is that the church will usher in the kingdom.
And things are getting better and better, right, and then eventually usher in the kingdom of God. Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's interesting that for a period of time, the post-millennial view was the absolutely dominant view, that things were going to get better and better and better, and that the church was going to make all things better and better and better until the kingdom of God was ushered in by the church. I think, at least in the West, that has kind of been brought to an end by World War II. I think World War II brought a crushing end to the maybe the positivism of the post-millennial movement. And so now I think that that's a very small segment of the church, at least in the West, that holds to a post-millennial view.
And recently resurrected a little bit of a movement, though, I was told, that, again, I think it goes back to, as society's getting better and better, that's that thought of the post-millennial view that things are getting better, ushering the kingdom of God. Now, the three of us all believe in the second coming of Christ.
Yes.
What we have never talked about is our own personal understanding or belief concerning the second coming of Christ. I can start. I have studied this. And I am an amillennialist. I believe that it'll be one and done. I primarily get that out of the Thessalonians passage where a trumpet will sound, dead in Christ will rise, it'll be over. Yeah. It's clean, it's clear to me. I get a little concerned about people taking the literal approach to Revelation because they'll take certain verses, certain numbers, but then totally disregard all the other ones because the other ones don't make sense either.
Right. Let me draw you a diagram. It's real simple.
If there's 500 words of numbers in the book of Revelation, they may choose 25 of them, but they can't figure out the other hundreds of them, and they just set them aside. That's why that's where I'm at. I don't know where you guys are at.
What about you, Ron?
I'm a classical premillennialist. And the reason for that is that Israel, if you read Romans and the book of Galatians, it seems clear to me that God still has intentions for the people of Israel. And those intentions, he's going to keep his promise in Christ, and that there will be a great awakening because of God's mercy. It's the tree, you know, that part of the tree coming alive again. And that's fundamentally why I am. And the other reason I have that view is because of George Eldon Ladd, this idea of the kingdom of God, which is eschatological, and that mm-hmm. the kingdom is here and the kingdom is coming. And that is really important for the way that I understand the New Testament. And so those are the two reasons that I land there.
That's good. What are you, Derek? Have you gone public?
Oh, I have not gone, gone public with all of this.
Come out of the closet, buddy.
All right. So there are differences within the broader Reform community on aspects of the second coming of Christ and how it relates to resurrection and final judgment and ushering in the new heavens and the new earth. But there are some general statements that are meaningful and I think capture the conviction of a majority of Reformed theologians and a majority of biblical theologians. So I believe Christ is going to return once. On that day he returns, he'll raise up everyone. He'll judge the whole world. He'll make manifest the new heavens and the new earth. He'll send each person to their eternal state. And we don't know when that day will come.
That's classic on millennials.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what everybody thinks. I won't say the name so that people who don't.
No, you know what's interesting though, and
no, we, so the ordinary. But go just, ahead. If I can just enter,
yeah,
so
of course.
That is classic amillennialist. But I think that Reformed premillennialists would affirm the same sort of thing. Ron, wouldn't you affirm those same statements?
Sure, because you're affirming the epoch or the end or the telos of the last age,
yeah,
the judgment, yeah, the second death, and you know, the resurrection. And so those are all where I get hung up with all millennialism is how Israel is dealt with. And
yeah, and that is fair.
That is confusing to me. And I think it's a stretch.
But you're not talking about the nation of Israel. You're talking about the people of Israel.
The people of Israel. Make sure, yeah, and that's,
ordinary Christians need to know that.
And
that is
the significant difference between classical premillennialism and dispensational. In the dispensational premillennial movement, there was a turn towards Israel that is very American. You know, it's very political. It's very geographic, and that wasn't part of the original view. And I do think it's messy when you start doing that.
Mm. Mm. And one thing we all agree on is that this is not salvific. We have the three of us. In fact, classical Reformed thinking presents all end times perspectives, but will say, hey, you can choose what you want in that process.
The Puritans, the Puritans were postmillennialists. You know, I love it, you know?
Yeah. Think about that. But I mean, for ordinary Christians, I want to segue to the application for ordinary Christians. We've spoken about some of them, but let's try to list some reasons why ordinary Christians should be thinking about this.
So I think that there are a number of reasons that ordinary Christians should live like this. I think that recognizing and realizing that Christ will return helps us to realize the fact that he is sovereign and that he is reigning. Right now, I mean, whenever I think about his return, it makes the call of the Christian life, at least for me, like a more present reality. It's not just that I have to live as a Christian, and when I die, you know, hopefully at 90 or 100, then I'll go to be with the Lord. But it's also that, I mean, it may be that before my next birthday that Christ Jesus returns and I will have to stand before him. And I need to live with that active and present reality that Jesus is coming soon and that I will meet him soon. And so I think that recognizing that helps to restrain our tendency towards complacency.
Yeah, that's profoundly Christian. That right there, what you just said, is the reason it matters the most, is that we're such complacent people. We're just like the unwise virgins all the time. And we have to be reminded again and again what you said.
That's right.
I think there's an application also about the urgency of the gospel. Mm. Because when we get complacent, we aren't thinking of the fact that our neighbors, our friends, our family members are facing a Christless eternity if Christ does come again soon. And I think there's an urgency that should be happening right now. I think the church, I've said this may be the church's finest hour in our lifetime, this virus, because there are people that are dying, there are people that are thinking about their death, and we have a message that lives forever, which is the risen Jesus Christ. I think that's an application for ordinary Christians.
That's right.
I have one more. And that's that in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, Paul is making an argument for character. And in it, it's, you know, you set your mind on the things above. And as you do that, you're hidden in Christ. But when Christ appears, then you'll appear too in glory, in his glory. And then it goes, therefore, put to death these things and cultivate these other things. And so it is in this, it is in the hope that what we do in the hidden will be displayed for all the world to see. And that is at the end of the day, the great justification for living in light of the cross, picking up our cross and following him.
I have another one too.
Yeah.
Knowing that Jesus will return, that he will judge the living and the dead, that his kingdom will have no end, reminds us of, or helps us to rightly think through one of the ways that I think secularists can tend to bully folks. You guys have probably heard the phrase, you need to be on the right side of history. And it's often used by secularists to try to bully people into their position. But the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is a reminder that there is a Lord of history and that the only way to be on its right side is to believe the things that Jesus believes and commands.
Amen.
Because, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, the last one in would be for me is that ordinary Christians can pray about this because Maranatha is Lord, come quickly. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say, Lord, get me out of this misery. Yeah. Get me out of this sinful and broken world. Well, we hope you've enjoyed us talking about how the virus has escalated the thoughts of, could this be the end of the world? And we want you to know that we want all of you who are listening to know the person of Jesus Christ who won the victory over death, over sin, and is coming again someday. God bless you all. Thanks, Derek and Ron, and we look forward
to
the next episode.
Thank you.